Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I would like to talk to you about the first treaty, and I want to talk to you about the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who brought you from slavery in the house of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. So I was talking to our rector, Chris, about this a few weeks ago, but when I was in my young adulthood, I would never thought of that term, but I guess I would be what you call a spiritual seeker. I didn't have a religious tradition that I belonged to, but I eventually went to university, studied religious studies, and kind of sampled, you know, tried a little bit of this. I studied various religious traditions, tried a little bit of this, tried a little bit of that, and by the grace of God, eventually end up in the church. And I guess that's kind of an interesting story. It's interesting. It's interesting to me. But one thing that it isn't, and it wasn't, was particularly costly. In Winnipeg, Manitoba, 1976, it was downtown Winnipeg. It was not a costly thing to be a spiritual seeker. Kind of was the thing to do back then. Anybody remembers that particular time? You know, in the 1970s, it wasn't a costly thing to be a spiritual seeker. Made you kind of cool, I suppose, in a way. And the other thing, in 1976 in Winnipeg, it was not a costly thing to become a Christian or to become a member of the Anglican Church. The parish I belonged to was right across from the legislature. The former premier, very esteemed man, who eventually became a senator, attended the 8 o'clock Eucharist. And it was kind of the old thing of the Tory party at prayer. That was us. It was not a costly thing. My spiritual journey was not a costly thing. If you want to look at someone for whom spiritual seeking was a costly thing, that is Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. We don't see him in this chapter, but we see him two chapters before. And it's important. We don't read that part of it. But nonetheless, it's important. It's important to remember him. If you remember the story, you may remember that Moses' father-in-law was a priest of Midian. Do you remember? He worked for him, right? When he escaped from Egypt, he went to work for him, herded his sheep, etc. He was a priest of Midian, and at this point, he just kind of, the ancient rabbi is talking about this story, saying, here they are, here's the people of Israel in the desert, at the mountain, the revelation is just about to happen. And the ancient rabbis tell us that Jethro, the priest of Midian, was drawn into the desert. And he was drawn into the desert by God, unbeknownst to him perhaps even what was going to happen into this event. And he shows up as things are about to happen. He was drawn in because of what he heard had happened. And what he heard had happened is that God had delivered his people miraculously out of slavery under the rule of the gods of Egypt through the great events of the parting of the Red Sea and into the middle of the desert. And the ancient teachers say this is what happened. He showed up. We see a little bit of this in this conversation, if you want to go back and read it, in Exodus chapter 18, that Jethro shows up, and when he sees his son-in-law, Moses, he makes a declaration, and his declaration is this: I now know that the Lord is greater than all gods. And the ancient teachers say, well, he should know, because he had worshipped every idol on the block. You know, he'd made the rounds of gods, so he would know which is going to be the greatest one. He'd kind of sampled them all. And then the story goes on to talk about how Jethro talked to his son-in-law, Moses, and Moses led him in a kind and gentle way through the story, in a way not because it would be disorienting. If you were a priest of Midian, to see this, to hear this, to know you're drawn, but to not understand what's happening. And so he spoke to him in a kind way as he told him of what had happened. Remember the confession that he made. Now I know that the Lord is greater than any gods. What Jethro had done by saying this, now that I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, had in an early form repeated the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. In his own way, he's saying, I've worshipped all the idols on the block, and I've found, even though I don't quite understand it, I have found the one true God. So what would that cost him as the priest of Midian to confess the one true God is the God of Israel? Well, he was not a 21-year-old university student living in Winnipeg. So he was a grandfather, father, a grandfather. He was a priest of Midian. He was a man who was very esteemed in his community. He would have been considered to be a wise man if you were sitting in the circle in the center of the village and all the elders were speaking and providing their wisdom during a difficult event. His word would have been given prominence. He would have known all the rituals and the prayers which he would have had to learn over the course of years. He would be the man that everyone believed had influence over the gods. If it's not raining, if the crops are bad, if there's something, an earthquake has happened or there's a plague, they would have gone to him and asked for his intercession and for him to perform the right ceremonies. He would have been the one who rendered judgment. Perhaps if there were difficult cases, there's some kind of a dispute in the community, he would have been the one people turned to and said, tell us what is acceptable to the gods in this case. What would it have cost him to say this? To voice the first commandment? I've tried all the gods and they're all idols, except for this one God. What would it have cost him? Just all of that. Just all of that. Just his esteem, his place in the community, his training, his the honor, important word, the honor that he had in the community, it would have cost him all of that. He was no dilettante. His heart and his mind were drawn to God, almost despite himself. They were drawn to God and drawn into the desert to the foot of the mountain of God, and again gently led by his son-in-law to understand what had happened to him and why he was doing this. He, as a result of that, he staked his life not on one of the gods whose names he knew, which there were many if you were a Midianite, but on the God who had no name. Or his name was, do you remember when Moses is herding the sheep of his father-in-law? He's up on the mountain, there's the burning bush, and Moses asks, well, okay, buddy, you're sending me, didn't call him buddy. Anyway, you're sending me to Egypt. Tell me your name. And his name is, various ways of interpreting is, I am. His name is I Am, which is not really a proper name at all. It It's simply kind of the verb to be. I am. For the first commandment is powerful. The first commandment is powerful. One of my favorite theologians who was teaching at the time of the Second World War when the Nazis were trying to take over the church, he said, the basis of all Christian understanding is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. If you're a pious Jew, you say it every day in the form of, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and there is no other. And when they say there is no other, it just doesn't mean, well, we don't worship the gods of Midian. They mean there is no one like him. He is one in himself, and he is the one to whom all of reality and all of our worlds are oriented, and there is nothing and no one like him. He is one. He is the one. What does Jesus name himself in the Gospel of John? John being Jesus' best friend. And later in the book of Revelation, also we believe written by John. What does Jesus name himself? He names himself, I am. He repeats it over and over again, that his name is I am. And if you ever look at an icon, that a sacred painting of Jesus, and there's Greek words behind his head, which are just very simply the words ho and on. It simply means, it means the on is. This is the one who is. The Lord our God is one, and there is no other. He is the one who is pure existence, and all of the rest of us are dependent on that. So, for you and me, to be honest, to be a spiritual seeker is a little bit different. We are not presumably on a route to find out which is the God, true God. We know that. Our God, our job as being spiritual seekers is different because we know the one who is, especially during the season of Lent. Our job as Jethro's, just like a little footnote here. After this confession, Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, is no longer called the priest of Midian. He's simply called the father-in-law of Moses, which means his entire identity has been reoriented. There's a little bit of that happens for us during Lent, isn't there? Which, at least that's our intention, is to reorient ourselves during Lent, right? To put aside our idols, whatever they happen to be. You know what yours are. You know, we all have our own idols, right? The things that, you know, there's God, and here's us, and there's something standing in between. We all know that, whatever it is. Whether it's, you know, whether it's work, or whether it's money, or whether it's esteem, or I don't know. There's a thousand different things. It could be comfort. A thousand different things could be. But during the course of Lent, our job is to be Jethro's, to be drawn to God, and to see, oh yeah, I've worshipped every idol in the block, but now I see the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and there is no other. I know there are people that are part of this community who have, like Jethro, given up everything to follow God. And I keep that in my mind. At the same time, for all of us, for the rest of us, we continue to ask ourselves this question: how can I set aside the idols that keep me from proceeding to the mountain of God. And to be able to say with all our hearts, the Lord our God, that is Jesus, the Lord is one. He is the one who truly exists, and I will worship only him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.